But I have a message that I want to share with you, and that's why I was kind of talking fast to get through that, because the more the order of service unfolded, I found that there was a continuing linking point. The exact thing that I want to share with you today, Pastor Joseph has talked about. The worship leader has sang songs about it, and I want to get right to that message. So is everybody ready? Okay. You know, before the service started, I came in here and the worship team was practicing. They were concentrating on doing it. But I got up here and I stood at this pulpit. I wanted to know where the gas and the brakes and the stick shift were. So when I started to drive this thing, that I could do it without, you know, stalling out and get going. So that's what I'd like to do now. You know, excuse me. You know, it's our great privilege to be here. You know, Robin and I, we serve on the mission field. You know, we've been serving on the mission field, and this requires no applause, please. We've been serving on the mission field. It's been our great privilege for 14 years, it's all to Him. You want to clap, and you can give the glory to God. Okay. 9 years in Guatemala, and we've enjoyed every minute of it. You know, we hear this quite often, and Pastor Joseph just told us that. He says, you guys look like you're getting younger, not older. So, you know, this is true. When you enjoy what you're doing, when you count it as a privilege, when you're seeing people's lives change right in front of your eyes, transform, it's a miracle. You know, that keeps you young. We try to make it back to the States, reconnect with partners, church family, family, friends, supporters, and give an update of what's happened. Well, that's generally what's going on. But while we're about the business of doing this, while we're about the business of coming into a community, meeting new people, or meeting old faces but familiar faces, I'm saying, that we know, you know, they're general questions that seem to come up in conversation that people ask and say, oh, you guys are missionaries? Oh, yeah, Guatemala? Sure, you know. And some of them are simple, you know. The typical one we get is, you know, what's it like to be in a foreign country? And, you know, we'll usually answer, well, you know, it's good, but they seem to have a different word for everything. And, you know, these type of things another question we get, well, what are the people like? And I said, well, they're nice, you know, but they look, act, and talk different than us. And, you know, what's the food like? It's okay, but it's not like at home, you know. And what are your daily activities like? So these type of questions seem to come. But, you know, after those light questions seem to fade away, it may take some time, but, you know, there are deeper questions. There are deeper questions that begin to emerge, even though they take some time. And mainly, they're about how do we make those big, how do we make those life-changing, how do we make those scary decisions, those type of decisions that take us and our family out of the comfort zone that we were in. You know, we were part of this community for 16 years, and we were part of this congregation for 16 years, and we've been on the mission field almost as long as we were part of this congregation. 16 years here, 14 years on the mission field. All good questions, but those deeper questions, you know. And eventually we get to that point where somebody says, hey Chuck, hey Robin, how did you know? How did you know it was time to go to the mission field? You know, we tried to answer that question as openly and as honestly as we can. On the spur of the moment, you know, sometimes there's an emotional element, something relevant has occurred to us, and that will flavor our response. How did you know it was time to go to the mission field? But generally, it just comes from our own understanding. How we felt in the moment when that question was asked. Well, this very morning, where I have the ability to speak to you clearly, my voice feels good, my mind is clear, not all fogged up with cough medicines and stuff like that, I want to share the truth of some words that God through Solomon was trying to give to us about this subject. I'm going to call this message, when you need to know, you'll know. Okay, so if you got Bibles, let's go ahead and crack those open and let's turn over to Proverbs. Seeing that Solomon had a lot to do with Proverbs, by the way. And as long as you're in the Bible and as long as you're in The book of Proverbs, let's go to chapter 3. As long as you're in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, let's find verses 5 and 6. So I'm not hearing any more pages ruffling. Well, the new technology of the day, I guess there's not that many pages ruffling. It's all, you know, how do you hear a fingerprint on an iPad? But nonetheless, I think we're all there. Let's go ahead and continue. You know, Solomon was a man, he was a king, and he was bestowed with great wisdom, you know, such that's not been known before, since, or after his life. And this is what he had to say. He was trying to convey something to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Generally, that last part, he'll make your path straight, remains the same across several translations. So we'll just say it like that for now. He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path. I'm not going to take a poll, you don't have to raise your hand, but I would suppose that there are many of you who have either electronically or marked with a pencil this passage in your Bible. I know it's marked in mine. You know, these two verses have to be some of the most beloved verses in the entire Bible. You may have memorized them in Sunday school when you were a child. You know, we have a daughter, 27 years old, wife, mother, but in third grade, when she was attending Shiloh Christian School over at 200 North Avenue, she was memorizing this verse, as I'm sure, and many others. I know that in my grandmother's house, on the long hall up on the wall, is a cross-stitch frame that bears these words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. We might have even sung it here at some point. You know, the simplicity of this particular text is stunningly simple. So much so because it can be understood by the youngest of believers. So much so that it brings comfort to the oldest of God's saints and anybody in between. It's good for everybody, beginning to end. You know, these words, when they're said, they begin to well up in your spirit. They penetrate your soul. They cling there. They latch on. Why? Because they speak to a great need we all feel. A need that we all feel. It is the need for guidance. People ask us questions looking for guidance. Well, what's the food like there? What do the people look like? How did you know? That's someone reaching out for guidance. And I can tell you, we answer with our own understanding, but there's a better way. There's a wisdom that surpasses our own understanding. And I want to talk about how to unlock that. And it's so simple, and I'll talk a little bit about it. In search for answers, these answers to hard questions, this very passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, it suggests something. It gives us a basis on which wisdom can come to us. Can come to us individually, can come to us for our families, can come to us for our congregation, can come to us for the people that we're ministering or mentoring. In just two verses, this is really a short course in knowing God's will for your life. I know that, I wasn't going to say it because I'm getting kind of up there in years, but you know, I'm 56 years old. 56. And it's probably more important now than ever before that I know God's will for my life. Whether I'm sitting at a corporate desk or whether we're in the jungles of Guatemala or the highlands of Guatemala, we all need this guidance. And we're going to look at it. If we learn what this passage is teaching us and begin to apply it in our daily life, it'll make a profound difference. When you need to make a tough decision, This is the basis for which wisdom can come to you. You know, the end of the year for us in Guatemala, the last 3 to 4 months, they're very high-paced. There's a lot going on. We've got students who have worked for 11, 10 months out of the year in their Bible studies, and they're looking towards graduation, which is overlapped with evangelistic outreach campaigns that we all participate in and support them. We get out there and we touch the people, we bless the people, we prophesy over the people, which overlap with seminars that take place for the Bible Institute student, which overlaps with special speakers, preachers, and teachers coming and going, which overlap with their travel needs, whether I fly them in and out of the country or whether we drive them in and out of the country. Yet, in the whirlwind that is the end of the year for us in Guatemala, this text drew me to it. You know, while we're getting ready to leave Guatemala and begin travel, we have to see to a lot of people's different needs, and then we have to see to our own needs. Where are we going to travel? How are we going to get there? Who are we going to stay with? What restaurant are we going to tell people we want to eat in when they ask us to do that? You know, all of these things, you know, have to be done. Yet, here is these two verses, this passage, simple passage, well, I keep coming back to. Well, I started on the assumption that some of us have known these verses for a long time. And sometimes when we know a verse so well, we know it too well. In other words, we're not really catching what it was saying to us. Have you ever picked up the Bible and you've read a passage that you've seen all of your life, and all of a sudden it leaps off the page? Everybody, I think every Christian has had that, if you're reading the Bible, that is. I think every Christian has had that experience that, I never caught that before. Well, you know what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding leapt off the page at me. We've heard it all said before. You know, we're just not sure what to say. So I began to study it out. It occurred to me that certain words, it seemed to me that certain words were being magnified. They looked bigger than the others. They were illuminated more than the others. And it was then that I had to, as that passage was passing through my mind as I was repeating the words, it occurred to me that these words literally unlock and frame the wisdom of this passage. And if we don't understand the intensity of these words, we don't understand the intensity and broad scope of these passages. So that's what I like to do. I'd like to do with you this morning. I'd like to talk to you about these five words so that we can better frame, that we can unlock the full knowledge and power and wisdom for our life, for my life, for your life, for this congregation, and anybody else, your families, your extended families, etc. Let's look at trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, the word trust in Hebrew means to lean on with your full body. If I was to climb up on top of this podium here and just have it, I'm not going to do that. I thought about that, and that's one of the things I was trying out before. I says, hey, you know, can I plank up here or something, you know, like that? It wasn't going to work, so we won't be seeing that today. You know, in our thinking of the word trust, you know, we apply things like, oh, what, to rely upon something or to have confidence in something. But you know, the word is stronger than that. Batak in the Hebrew. It's much stronger than that. It would be after a long day, typical in Guatemala for us, you know. It would be after a long day, you finally make it home, off come the shoes, off come the socks, and you lay your whole body down on the bed. And you know what's going to envelop you, you know what's going to hold you, and you just relax in it. You know, that is the degree that we need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Sometimes it can be a scary thing. And lean not on your own understanding. I get an image of I don't know why I got this image, but I get an image of Arizona, probably because I'm standing in the state in Sierra Vista. You know, sky is blue, clouds are, you know, gentle breeze. And I walk out to a house that we owned maybe 14 years ago, two trees and a hammock tied in between. Now, if you can envision this with me, you know that a hammock is sometimes, there's no graceful way to get in and out of a hammock. You know, you take those strands and you scrunch them up, and then you straddle that, and then, you know, you're in an unflattering position already. You know, you open those strands and fibers up, and you sit down tentatively. Why? Why are you doing that? Well, you're not sure if that's going to bear your weight. You're not sure if the sun hasn't made it less, not as strong as it has been. Well, okay, and then there's a pause when you do that. Well, then one leg comes up and the other leg comes up, and now you're still checking. There's still a pause there, right? And you might lean back into it, but you're still waiting for the bottom to drop out of this thing. Well, that's not trust. That's not trust. The way that we need to trust in the Lord is, yes, Lord, you're going to sustain me in everything, and believe it and live it and walk it out with all your heart. Batak. Lean not on your own understanding. You know, to lean means something like this. If you're looking at me, or you can see me up on the screen, you see I'm not leaning here for my full support. I'm only have partial support. That's what a lean is. You know, so in this case, if you're using a walker or a cane, or you come up to something solid and you lean up against it, you're not receiving full, but only partial support. You lean on something when you're not strong enough to stand alone. Very different from trust, where trust says, take me, Lord. Leap of faith. I'm going to step out there. Whatever the Spirit of the Lord is calling you to. Let's go to the next word. Like I said, these words were leaping off the page. They were looking different. Well, actually, I was reading it on my iPad, so they were, you know, not actually on a page, but you get the idea. We do like to turn pages every now and again, but you know, with an iPad and a simple program, you know, I got five or six different translations. I can compare. I mean, there's just a lot of things. Technology is wonderful, but you know, the Spirit of the Lord never changes. You know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is the word of God. Let's continue before I get on a rabbit trail. Lean not on your understanding, on your own understanding. Well, understanding is a pretty, you know, we don't have to get too technical. It is a straightforward mental process by which you analyze a problem. You may break it down into its smaller parts and then make a decision about what you're going to do. Early in the morning, you may rise and begin to prioritize, begin to analyze. This is using your understanding, how you project the day may unfold. You may be sitting at a desk and Sunday evening looking ahead at a much larger block of time. You say, well, there's a week that's in front of me. What's going to happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on and on? That is your ability to understand, analyze, and come to a conclusion. But you know, to a greater degree, I'll tell you something about our mission agency and our mission in Guatemala. As a matter of fact, by the time that we return to Guatemala in just a couple of weeks, we will sit down with our leaders, our directors, all our missionaries and employees, and we will plan the entire year in advance. You military men, this is probably nothing new to you. The military does it all the time. We're going to plan a whole year, September to September, I think, is what we used to do. But it's simply a mental exercise. You know, at any time, you can use your understanding to plan your life or solve a problem. And understanding happens to be that decision-making ability that God has given you and me. But let's look at something. Let's consider this. When you take the word lean, And you bring in the idea of understanding that I've been talking about. And you add in the negative, the meaning seems to change. And it sounds a little something like this. Use all your mental powers, but don't lean on them for total support. The word lean implies that you're not going to get total support in the beginning. Trust does. Trust in who? Trust in the Lord. Lean instead on the Lord. Rest your weight on Him and be confident that you will be sustained and directed and guided. Amen. Let's look at another word, yada. And I know there's some Hebrew scholars out there, and if I said that wrong, you just... In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Another word, fourth word, as a matter of fact, that stood out to me. That now, remember, we're trying to get the essence, the flavor. We're trying to understand the intensity of this passage so that we can unlock that power, that it may be fully available to us in our lives. Acknowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, this word deserves extra consideration only because we don't use it very often in language. I know that when we had our men's groups years and years ago, we would meet at some restaurant, cafe au lait, and not once while we were sitting around the table chatting did we say, yes, I acknowledge your comment and I agree or disagree. No, it's not something that you come, and because of that word, its strength and depth is diminished simply because we don't use it very often. It's not common in our I suppose the place that you see it most in this electronic Amazon fired up age is when that UPS guy brings a package to you and there's a little box that he says, here, scribble in this. What does it say? I acknowledge receipt of this package. That's about the only time that we see it. You know, when I studied and looked a little bit deeper, acknowledge, we're talking about, yada. In the Hebrew, this word is an imperative. That means it's a command. So you could translate it like this. In all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, know Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is what we're striving for. This is what we need. This unlocks the power, the scope and magnitude of these two simple verses. Know in all your ways, know Him. It means to know someone deeply, intimately, that kind of through and through know from personal experience. That's what it comes from. Like salvation. Salvation is a personal experience. You cannot be saved for somebody else. Somebody else's salvation cannot save you. You must have that personal experience in salvation through Jesus Christ. Here's an example. For instance, I might ask someone, hey, do you know how to fly an airplane? And they may respond back, oh yeah, I've got a Xbox and a PlayStation 4. Okay, there is some knowledge in there, though be it kind of shallow, you know, but it's not deep enough. There isn't an intimate knowledge of that skill or experience to back it up. You know, but there's another kind of knowing. Robin and I have known each other in a completely different way than the Xbox example for 28 years. Now I know that if we had a competition in here, there'd be a lot of people that have been married a lot longer than that. But you know, in 28 years, some things begin to happen. You begin to know that person to a depth that nobody else knows them. You know, last November we haven't celebrated yet, but we're going to get to it. I promise you, we're going to celebrate that. Seems like every year something else comes up, some ministry opportunity or whatever we get. But we're going to celebrate. 28 years, last November, But after being together, you know, there are some things that, you know, they're kind of comical that begin to take place. You know, for instance, we may be driving someplace, we're bringing the car together, and I'll be thinking of a song, and Robin just begins to sing it. How does that happen? You know, I don't know. Or I'll be thinking about a question, and Robin will blurt out the answer before it's even out of my mind. How does that happen? I don't make sense of it. Or this one. This one really can aggravate me. I'll start a sentence, and Robin will finish it. You know, these things happen to all married couples, you know, eventually at some point in time. But it comes from a depth of knowledge that cannot be achieved in one day, in one hour, in one moment. It requires many days, hours, and moments to achieve, to know someone through and through. And that's the degree that we need to acknowledge God, to know God. To the point that husband and wife, I know what Robin is going to say before she says it. Or she knows what I'm going to do before I do it. Or she knows how I'm going to react or respond to something. We know each other through and through. I'd say pretty good. We still, those of you who've been married in the 60-year range, I'm sure you got a few things on us, but we're moved. That 50, 60 year, that golden really says something, doesn't it, when you live for somebody that long. But anyway, we're talking about acknowledging God and what that word means. Acknowledge means to know God deeply. Seen in that light, we might translate verse 5 there, and in all your ways know God intimately, deeply, and personally. That's a lot more intense. That's got a lot more power and force than we're used to giving it. But when you know God in that way, in every area of your life, He will direct your path. Which brings me to the next word. He will make your path straight. King James says, He'll direct your paths. English Standard says, He'll make straight your paths. NIV says, He will make your paths straight. You know, now, some of you can relate to this because you've been in Guatemala with us. You know, imagine that you're driving along a road with us in Guatemala that appears to be impassable, and there's a lot of roads that fit that description. It winds through mountains, down through swamps, you know. Seems to be 1,000 switchbacks, 1,000 curves. And actually, I think I've counted them. I think we're into the 700 or 800 going along the mountain road between Guatemala and our city of Quetzaltenango. But as you travel on, you discover that portions of the road might be washed out. They're filled with potholes. Some are blocked by boulders. Some places it looks just like a dead end. You know what? You know what? This is a road of your life. This is a road of our life. This is the human road of life. As you look at it, it appears to be covered with obstacles of every kind, boulders and rocks, potholes everywhere. Some sections even look like they're not going anywhere. Well, that's the way life is. But it doesn't have to be that. Because here is God's message to you from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you will know God in every area of your life, He'll take personal responsibility to make your way smooth and straight. That says a lot, doesn't it? He'll remove the obstacles if they need to be removed. If not, He'll take you by the hand and lead you around, over, or under, whatever is required. He'll fill in the potholes if they need to be filled. At least show you where they are so you can step over them without getting injured. He'll redirect the detour so that what seemed to be a dead end actually turns out to be the straightest and most direct line to your destination. All you have to do is trust. And remember, trust means lay yourself completely on Him for support. How about that? Don't lean for support on your own human understanding, because we know lean is only for partial support. Your understanding is a human feature that was created within you, but it is not the same as acknowledging God in all your ways, or, as I said, knowing God intimately. He'll take the path of your life that seems to go up, down, left, right, and recover, and he will make that way straight. He has for us over and over and over again. He has for many of you in here, and he will continue to do this if you begin to understand and apply and receive this promise from Almighty God. It's for you. It's for us. There's a Christian author, Philip Yancey, and he made a statement of faith that's widely used. Says, faith means believing in advance would only make sense in reverse. Okay, the world says seeing is believing, but God says believing is seeing. We believe, therefore we see. Now I saw this in concept in action, and I want to relate just a couple of places in our lives, Robin and I, in our lives, where we saw this in action. I recall a transition from our community, our church, our home of 16 years. We were only had a desire to serve God, yet, you know, we had no real direction to put our energies towards. And this brings me back to the title of this message, When You Need to Know, You'll Know. As we left Arizona, our longtime home and community, and we're headed to Oklahoma to join with a mission agency there, we did not have a place to stay secured. We were going someplace where we had no home, we had no shelter, we had no knowledge of. We pulled into an unknown town, Tulsa, Oklahoma, late in the afternoon as the sun was going down, and we went and found our contact for the mission agency that we were joining. And you know what they told us? You know what she told us? She says, just a few hours ago, we found a place for you guys to stay. We found a home for you. When we needed to know, we knew. As we kept that vision in our hearts, you know, opportunities began to appear, doors began to open and guide us to the places that we needed to be. Such to the point that when we needed to know, we knew. That's how God works. When you need it, it's there. That's trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make the path straight for you. When we were ready to transition to a foreign mission field, different mission agency, you know, we didn't even know what country we were going to. All we knew was what we were guarding in our heart, that we wanted to serve God and serve on His field. So there was an unplanned encounter with a couple of pastors who had founded a mission in Central America. And from that meeting, we stand here 9 years later serving at that very same mission in Guatemala. How about that? When we needed to know, we knew. It's important to believe that there's also an element of God's timing involved. Knowing God means to use all your energies for Him. And you can pray this along with me if you want to. Lord, here are my hands. Let them be productive in your fields. You can pray, Lord, here are my lips. Let me speak a word in season to him who is weary. You can say, Lord, here's my eyes. Let them see your glory in all things. Lord, hear my ears. Let them hear the cries of your people so that we can meet their needs. And Lord, here are my feet. Let me carry the good news of Jesus Christ up on the mountain. This is what the Spirit of the Lord wants to hear from you. You know, life is a journey full of unexpected twists and turns. The path ahead is not sure. Nobody knows for sure what's coming around the no one with skin on, that is, knows what's coming around the next bend. You know, you may start out, maybe a smooth road, green valley, but all of a sudden you find that the bridge is out and there's a deep river you have to figure out how to get across. But there is one, and I point to heaven. There is one who knows the way. Because the past, the present, and the future are all the same to Him. And darkness is as the light of day to Him as well. He knows the way that you should go. He promised to direct your path, and He will do it. You can count on it. I want to assure you, yes, praise God, I want to assure you that whatever decisions lay in front of you, family, ministry, missionary life, when you need to know, you will know. If God is God, then this must be true. Amen? Amen. Amen.